following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the latest Green 19 Packers podcast. I am Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. Another game week, and Thursday is usually the Packers' padded practice day. It's an important one to see who's doing what and where, and some promising news on the injury front, Tom, as we start this podcast. All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari participating in the sessions we could see in pads. Kick returner, offensive specialist Tyler Irvin practicing in pads. Starting safety Darnell Savage Jr. has also practiced. But on the other end, Aaron Jones with his calf. We have not seen him these last couple days. And Matt LaFleur said Thursday that Kevin King did suffer a setback at the end of last week with his quad injury, which he hinted at by saying Josh Jackson would probably have a matchup with the Vikings receivers. So let's start there, Tom. Obviously we've got a couple things to watch in terms of who may start at running back and corner and all that stuff. But I would imagine the idea of left tackle David Bakhtiari potentially playing this week. What's your gut there? Billy Turner looked like was still taking some reps and individual stuff on the left side.
Yeah. Before we go into specifics, what struck me was, so I think there's 17 guys on the injury report, but there's like 8 guys who came back from injury for the first time. And I don't know if it's that high, but it's pretty high. So all of a sudden, there's two ways to look at it. They got this banged up team, but they're getting Tyler Irvin back. Raven Green's okay, came back. Tyler Lancaster is returning from a 1-game. Darnell Savage, 1-game. Christian Kirksey is practicing, finally. Alan Lazard is practicing. So I don't know if I mentioned Tyler Irvin, you did. It's just kind of a dichotomy of injured and non-injured, and who knows where it goes. But to get to back to what you're saying, I think it looked to me like Bakhtiari was doing everything physical. And my guess is they'll just see how he does in the team drills, especially in pads today. If I were a betting man, I would say he's going to play. I think it looked like Chris Barnes was doing okay and that he would be able to start. And Savage looked like he was practicing in full. So it just comes down to what they want to do with the guys who are returning to practice. Now, Alan Lazard's not going to play. Kirksey probably isn't going to play. They're just returning from, they're on IR, but they just returned to practice. And then who knows about Tyler Irvin? That's a question mark too.
Yeah, it's look, for the credit they get for beating Houston with such a diminished lineup or diminished roster, Tom, I think they probably could manage against the Vikings especially if Aaron Jones. It sounded to me, Tom, when asked about Aaron Jones, like Matt LaFleur's answer, it just felt like, for him to get hurt right before going to Houston.
Yeah.
With the cast,
I don't see him playing.
Yeah, it feels like he's definitely going to miss Sunday's game. And I guess we'll have to see about Thursday in San Francisco. I mean, that's the hard part about some of this, right? I mean, I know they want to focus on the game in front of them, but that's fine from a game plan perspective. But I think Brian Engel, the training staff, has to take into account a 2,000-mile plane trip and 2 games in 4 days.
Yeah. I mean, they absolutely can't take this Vikings game for granted. It's more important than the 49ers game. They gotta win their division. They need to win every game in the division. But there's a big picture with Aaron Jones, and that's don't mess up his calf for the whole year. You know, don't let him tear that thing. It will be not worth a win against a division opponent if it gets worse. So I think that's going to be an easy decision for them. Some of the other ones aren't that hard, but what'll be hard are the ones against San Francisco, because they have a short week, probably one day of practice, and it won't be in pads. And so is that enough for Christian Kirksey and Alan Lazard to come back? I don't know. It's iffy. And Aaron Jones will be in that boat too.
Right. I will say this with Matt LaFleur. He laughs because he knows how the repetition sounds when he says, you know, the one week at a time and the one game. But I've been with teams, Tom. I've covered teams that have overlooked others, who have talked trash about other teams and thought about it and had a letdown. I will say this, Matt LaFleur's Packers teams to date have not done that. Now, they may go to San Francisco and get mollywopped again, but I don't see them like falling into trap games. I don't think they're going to overlook Minnesota just because they should win.
Yeah. And it's not like they're devastated. They're really not. They're missing their explosive running back, but they still have their top wide receiver who absolutely torched the Vikings the last time. You know, they still have their pass catching tight end in Robert Tonyan. Their offensive line is in good enough shape. Even if David Bakhtiari can't play, it's in pretty good shape. And their defense is probably in as good a place as it's been all year, with just some guys who are a little bit banged up. And I just don't think they're in that bad a shape, even if Aaron Jones doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And before we totally dive into Minnesota, you had an interesting story over at PackersNews.com regarding the Packers' plan for Mason Crosby. And it, go figure, Tom, right? For several of these podcasts, we were wondering, why do they keep bringing in these kickers? What are they doing? Like, with the COVID protocols, where now it's 6 days of testing before they can even get in the building to take a physical, let alone kick. And they hadn't signed anybody. We were wondering, well, lo and behold, Mason Crosby shows up on the injury report Wednesday with a calf or on his plant leg, a back injury. And so they've got a guy waiting in the wings for this weekend if Crosby can't go. Can you break that down for the listener on just what the Packers' plan is?
Yeah, so you and I kind of questioned, what are they doing to protect themselves at the kicker position? Because they weren't carrying anybody on the practice squad. And anybody who they intended to sign would have to pass five consecutive days of negative COVID tests. But as we saw, and probably should have put two and two together, they were bringing guys in on Sundays and working them out a few days later, so that if something were to happen to Crosby, the guys would have passed the test and been ready. I think actually early, before they changed, went from 3 days to 5 days, they were bringing them in on Tuesdays. And then all of a sudden they went to Friday and they start bringing guys in on Sunday. So here's what'll happen. The guy they have in now is Nick Vogel, a rookie, undrafted rookie who from UAB, who spent a few days with the Ravens, and he came in Sunday. He'll test Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then he'll work out Saturday. And so if they feel Crosby can't play, or they are worried about him getting hurt in the game, re-aggravating or aggravating the injury, then they'll sign this guy and he'll be on the 53-man roster on Sunday. So that's what they've been doing, is that's how they've been protecting themselves against injuries at kicker. So they've had a kicker in every single week except the bye week. So that's kind of how this has worked.
And just to remind folks, there is a way to manage this situation and not affect totally their position player depth. So for instance, they could decide, right. they could decide Saturday to sign this kid to the practice squad,
right?
Just dump a practice squad guy. And then Sunday morning, shuffle him up. So you would technically have two kickers active, but that's like a bonus spot anyway. So if you know, yes, Dexter Williams and Billy Wynn and John Lovett have played, but Tom, and for the listeners, usually those two practice squad call-ups anywhere from, I mean, I think Lovett played three snaps in week one, Billy Wynn played like six. I mean, they've rotated in, but they're not huge parts of the game plan. So it wouldn't really be a waste of a spot if that's how they went about this over the weekend.
Yeah, and I have to check because there could be some obscure rule that you can't add a guy to the practice squad on Saturday and that you have to bring them right to the 53-man roster. I don't know. There's so many screwy rules during that's something we'll have to look into. But either way, if there's any chance that Crosby's can't kick or they're worried about him, then they'll just sign this kid to the 53-man roster.
Yeah, so there
he'll be on the 53-man roster one way or another.
Yeah, so there's it'll be interesting to see. And, of course, Sunday at Lambeau Field, potentially 40-mile-an-hour winds, so not the greatest place to make your NFL debut. One would think Matt LaFleur would be going for it on 4th-and-2 from his own 36.
Yeah, the one thing I do know is this kid has a really strong leg. He was 2nd in the nation in touchbacks his junior year, and so that part we know he can kick it a long way, but accuracy and dealing with that wind is a whole nother can of worms.
I know I had asked Sean Menenga about if there were any position players who were good at the drop kick spoon, and unfortunately he said only JK Scott and Mason could do it. I my dream, Tom, was, you know, like Kenny Clark running out there to drop kick an extra point.
Tyler Lancaster or Billy Wynn or, you know. It's really funny because I was talking with somebody yesterday and we were sort of talking about Packers kickers. And I remembered that one of their defensive linemen, Dave Purifoy, used to kick off for them. I mean, imagine a 200, well, probably was like 275 back then. But he was their kickoff guy for a year or two. Maybe it's just 1 year. But it was always great to see this monstrous guy out there kicking off. So maybe we can return to that. That would be interesting.
The like our cover and preps, you know, he had number 98 doing the straight line, straight toe boot down the center of the field.
Yeah, well, think about it. How many, you know, high school players who are their studs, you know, the offensive linemen, or like you said, some defensive linemen kick field goals because they're the best athlete on the team.
Yeah. Hey, in this day and age, I have been dying, Tom, for years since they've changed these kickoff rules for just some special teams coordinator to not be afraid and just do weird stuff. And to me, having a, can you imagine if you put, Malik Taylor as your kickoff specialist and all he did was kick it 40 yards on the ground and then you just got guys running for a live ball. I don't know. I don't see how that's any worse than what we already see.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, we mentioned the kicker and maybe it would require the head coach to go for it on 4th down. And that happens sometimes when punters get hurt in games or kickers get hurt. I just think sometimes these coaches, what they lean on convention because if it goes wrong, you can say, well, that's just what it is, rather than going outside the box and doing something weird and crazy that actually, you know, may hurt, may help. But that's just me.
Well, their bigger worry may be to find somebody who can block on punt coverage, you know?
Yes. Yeah, that was Dexter Williams. That's not ideal when you're called up, as we mentioned, to the off the practice squad and you'll kind of only have a couple jobs and one of them is blocking one-on-one on a punter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting, Tom, because you would think with no Aaron Jones, Dexter's going to get his second straight call up. I mean, maybe not if Tyler Irvin's back, but, that is something to watch too. If that requires, Jamal Williams kind of playing four down sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't even call Tyler Irvin a running back anymore because he never lines up. He doesn't carry the ball out of the backfield. He's a wide receiver. And Dexter Williams probably has to be active. And if they were going to give up on him, they would have given up on him this week and picked somebody up. But I would suspect he'll be active.
Right. I think, not that they've been overly dynamic or impressive in the return game. I still think he clearly brings a little more to the table than Darius Shepherd. They haven't really let him return much. I mean, maybe that those are purely his decisions, but clearly Tyler Irvin at least offers some semblance of, Tom, especially we're talking about the wind, to have him back there, potentially being able to field some of that stuff or make some decisions. I think that might be a benefit this weekend.
Yeah. The big thing with him, he'll have to show is that he can hold on to the ball, that he can high point it, because it sounds like I don't know if it's his right wrist or left wrist, but he's got to have that strength in his wrist in order to hold on to the ball. And that's going to be the key as to whether he plays this week. They must feel that he's made some progress. Otherwise, he wouldn't be out there practicing.
Right. I know offense is always leads the charge here, but I do want to start this weekend's breakdown, Tom, defensively. I know the head coach is saying, hey, the Vikings are still a dangerous team. We know how he feels about his old quarterback in Washington and Kirk Cousins. I guess the one thing that's different from week one has been the emergence of rookie wide receiver Justin Jefferson. I mean, he was playing his first NFL game in week one, was a total non-factor. But now he's a dude. I mean, 28 catches. He's averaging 19.2 per reception, which is impressive. He's got three touchdowns. And he has, since that week one game, has now ascended to, he's a downfield threat, clearly, and is now, I think, a legitimate number two to Adam Thielen. So what, and if that's Josh Jackson over there, Tom, I mean, what do you kind of see with what this Vikings pass offense can or can't do this weekend?
Well, the pass offense, I don't know if Dalvin Cook is going to play, and they're probably not going to tell us till game time, but if I'm the Packers, I'm way more worried about him than I am about any of their wide receivers. And that's more a comment on Dalvin Cook, because he's the guy who really makes them go. And I just think that's got to be their priority, and that's going to leave Josh Jackson probably sometimes when he's going to have to cover one-on-one. But I thought last week in particular, he played a lot better. He just was – his coverage was so much better than it was the week before. Maybe that he's starting to come into his own a little bit. But I will hold – I'll wait and see once he plays – these guys, Jefferson is a guy that they have to worry about. There's no question. Maybe they put Alexander on him, but Alexander's got to play Thielen, so that probably won't happen either.
Yeah, it's so as a reminder for folks, Dalvin Cook is dealing with a groin injury, missed a game. He hasn't practiced yet. Alexander Mattison, he's a nice backup, 4.5 yards a carry. He was actually the one who put the Vikings in position to win the game at Lambeau Field last year before, for whatever reason, they decided to have Kirk Cousins throw it into the end zone. And he was intercepted by Kevin King, which brings that back up with Kevin King being out. You mentioned Josh Jackson. The Jefferson thing's interesting, Tom, because obviously you've written about this. Others are talking about it. multiple reports out of Houston that the Packers have inquired about Will Fuller. Packers fans, I don't know if they want to look at Justin Jefferson and be like, that's the guy we could have had. You know, I mean, I guess that's just that's just part of this, right? Where, you know, the Packers are rolled with what they've had, right? And I think, I mean, it set them up. They're 5-1. That back end of the secondary is pretty strong. And yeah, if Justin, I don't know, Tom, I mean, people on this podcast know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. I think if Dalvin Cook is down, I just don't know that the Vikings have enough to win this game offensively, to me.
Yeah. I don't know either. You know, Cousins went off here that one year that you made reference to, and it's possible that he could just have an awesome game. But Cook makes the difference for them. You know, he puts them over the top. And even though they might have won that game in Seattle if he hadn't gotten hurt. I think they would have. But without him, they're a different offense. And so that's going to be a big key. They can hold this offense down if Dalvin Cook isn't playing, no question.
Yeah, and I know the head coach has mentioned the Seattle loss. They lost by 1 point to Tennessee, but sure. I mean, Tom, I think a lot of people can score points on Seattle at this point. So, I guess I'm just not a huge believer if Cook can't go, I think we saw it last year at the end in Minnesota. You know, the Vikings were still playing for something. Cook couldn't play, and that whole offense just shut down. And then now flip it over defensively, you know, how quickly things change in 8 weeks. We were talking about the acquisition of Yannick Ngakoue right before the game, and, man, how can that add to the Packers or the Vikings pass rush? Well, now he's gone already. They traded him to Baltimore for a bunch of draft picks. You know, they're – one of the linebackers, you got to remind me here, Spoon, Anthony Barr, he's on IR. He's not playing. You know, George Iloka, they brought in to help add some depth to the back end at safety. He's on IR, not playing. So what are you seeing out of this? I mean, Eric Kendricks and Harris and, you know, Harrison Smith are there, but I guess even defensively, Tom, I'm not seeing what.
I don't think they have the pass rush to really affect the game, especially, you know, without their stud pass rusher. I mean, I don't know, even with, they just don't have a really strong, the kind of pass rush they once did that the Vikings are known for. And so that's going to be hard for them on grass to be able to put a real hard pass rush on the Packers. Now, maybe Zimmer just goes all out and blitzes like nobody's business. Then it could get interesting. You know, if they can figure out how to get at Rodgers the way that Tampa Bay did, then maybe it does swing the other way. But I think the pass rush is going to be the whole key. You know, they just without, Danelle Hunter, I don't know. I don't think that's a great pass rush.
Yeah, it's a very un-Zimmer-like start to this year. The Vikings are 30th in the NFL in points allowed, 28th in total defense, only 22nd against the rush, 29th against the pass. They're bad on defense right now. And you're right, Tom. I mean, Zimmer does get the credit of being creative. I mean, I go back to last year's playoff game where they beat New Orleans, and they're the ones who kind of created the blueprint for getting to Drew Brees when they moved Griffin and Hunter off the edges to the interior, right? Mm-hmm. To get up into Drew Brees and it made him look normal and allowed them to win. Without Anthony Barr, I'm curious if the linebackers there can play to a degree, like to get that pressure.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they tried it. I mean, what do they have to lose, right?
Sure, Sure. But, you know, there, Eric Kendricks is the lone guy left. And while he's really good, it hurts not to have Anthony Barr next to him. You know, and then he's playing next to a seven-year free agent, Todd Davis. So it's not ideal for Zimmer. He's for him to be able to get his, you know, double A gap blitz going without Anthony Barr, that makes it really hard. So this is a game, the game the Packers should win. He's still got a young secondary. They're probably playing better than they did in week one, but it's still, they got to figure out how to stop Davante Adams. And that's going to leave some other guys open probably.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, again, recent history shows they may have issues with that. So Tom, just so the fans know, in the last three games for the Vikings, they have given up touchdown passes of 20 yards or more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in their last three games. So, I mean, they, and that's the tight ends and receivers. They've also given up a 29-yard rushing touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, again, everyone who listens to us knows I thought the Vikings were going to be in the cellar of this division to start the year. They're playing that way. But to Matt LaFleur's point, I think that the there is an importance in winning yet another divisional game, another conference game, especially at home. So I do want to, I referenced it a little bit earlier, Tom, when I mentioned that the Packers had inquired reportedly about Will Fuller, the receiver down in Houston. The trade deadline will come next week, the day before they are scheduled to fly to San Francisco. If they had any desire of acquiring a player to play in that game, it would have had to happen already with the COVID-19 protocol. So at this point, anyone they acquire potentially is looking to play no earlier than the game against Jacksonville in a couple weeks, which may not be a bad thing in terms of getting the practice time in and learning everything. But where are you at with that, Tom? I mean, this team doesn't historically make a lot of in-season moves. The ones they've made, I mean, Nile Davis was maybe the biggest name trading. He was around for what, a day? So what's your sense of this trade deadline and what Brian Gutekunst is looking for or should be looking for?
Yeah, well, I think they actually have till, if they can test a guy on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they could have them available by Thursday. So,
well, they're right on that edge then.
Yeah, I think even Sunday they could do it. So they have, you know, maybe 24, 48 hours to get something done. I just don't see them ponying up for Will Fuller. I think that's one of those phone calls that would be, hey, what would it take to get Will Fuller? First round pick. Okay, see you later. You know, I think that's, you know, more likely, and I haven't had a chance to report this, but I found it out today that, like, they tried to get Dante Pettis from the 49ers. And that's the kind of receiver, a guy who's no longer in the rotation. You know, they've kind of, he's just kind of buried and has some talent. And, you know, they couldn't get that done probably because San Francisco was like, why should we help you? So I think if they get a wide receiver, that's the kind of guy it's going to be. I don't think we're going to see them giving up a second or a first for a wide receiver. Now they have some players they could deal that could possibly get them a wide receiver, but you know, who are we talking about? Alshon Jeffrey, is that, you know, a guy? You got the three guys from Houston, Kenny Stills. I'm not even counting Fuller. Cobb is a possibility, and Brandon Cooks. Beyond that, I don't know who else is really available and worth giving a lot for. Do you?
No, I mean, because you know, none of this happens in a vacuum, and there's cap implications for this year. The value line that Brian Gutekunst draws, I mean, clearly, if you look at last year's free agency, last year's trade deadline, this year's draft, this year's trade deadline. Like, yeah, of course they're making calls, right? And that, and or fielding calls. And but at the end of the day, he's clearly figured out or determined, at least right now as we record this, that none of those options, whether don't meet the value line, right, of either draft picks to trade, money to spend. I guess you could you see a situation, I'll just bring up the Seattle one with Carlos Dunlap in Cincinnati, where it was a player for a player and a late pick. Like, could you see dealing from a position of strength, which you wrote about at PackersNews.com, for a receiver where it's maybe not draft capital, but it's a, you know, kind of one of those like midseason baseball deals, Tom, player for player, that you're like, well, what is this? But it actually works out because they just fit those teams better. But you're right, I don't really know. It's hard to pick a name.
Yeah, if Aaron Jones wasn't hurt, they could be shopping Jamal Williams, since he's going to be a free agent anyway. Maybe they can get something for him, more than they would get as a compensatory pick. I would be, you know, you could consider shopping Amos, because you've got Will Redmond, who's played pretty good, and Raven Green is okay. And I kind of think that Vernon Scott is moving up the charts, the rookie. And so, I mean, that's just, I'm just throwing names out there if they are looking to shed some salary cap space, which they're going to have to do either now or they're going to have to do it in March. And if you do it now, you may actually get somebody for them. If you do it in March, you get nothing. So I don't know if they're dangling some players out there, but, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And you mentioned Pettis in San Francisco. You know, their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, was, I remember that, was just like, yep, people are calling us on him. they're 4-3. They've rebounded a little bit since they had a tough start. Well. And, I mean, they've beaten the Rams. I know people kind of left them for dead after that Dolphins loss, but, you know.
No, they beat the Patriots last week. They
beat the Patriots. They've got a trip at Seattle. And that's one of those things where, again, yeah, you wonder if Kyle Shanahan would have entertained it, but the price might be a little higher for, say, the Green Bay Packers to acquire a player like that as opposed to, say, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely the price would be higher if you're going to sell it to your competitor.
For sure. Especially you don't.
All he needs is Dante Pettis to score the winning touchdown in the NFC Championship game, and they'll come back and haunt him. So.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, we'll see. We will address this again post-game Sunday after the Vikings, as the clock really speeds up there with a few days before the deadline. Who knows, Tom? Maybe something will have happened between now and then we need to address. Maybe, you know, there's a pretty significant injury on Sunday that might change things as well. I think that's the hard part of this game, right? I mean, depending who goes down or where, that changes the need.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we will see. We're back at Lambeau Field Sunday, Tom. You and I, the entire PackersNews.com team with Olivia Reiner, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty. So be sure to go over to PackersNews.com. You can subscribe for all of your Packers content, the great videos, stories. And then, of course, if you are in Wisconsin and Milwaukee and are interested in all things Bucks, Brewers, politics, something's happening next Tuesday aside from the trade deadline. If you want to know what's going on in your community and around the state, be sure to go over to jsonline.com/deals. You'll want to subscribe. Turn on your notifications for us with the Packers and for all of our news coverage going forward this week and through the end of the year for sure. So be sure to do that. And Tom and I will be back with you live from Lambeau Field on Sunday evening. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.